Amen. Good morning. Of course, I want to welcome all here and, of course, those online to New Hope Chapel Sunday morning praise and worship service. That was a great song set. I have to tell you that it framed my sermon on all fours. You know, the last song that was presented was from Psalm 51, 10 through 12. And it reads, verse 10, "Create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me." And verse 11 says, "Cast me not away from thy presence, O Lord, and take not your Holy Spirit from me." Verse 12, "Restore unto me the joy of thy salvation, and renew a right spirit within me." Listen to that song, but with understanding of the then, David's time, and the now. It was a foreshadowing. You know, verse 10 is still the same, which is my message this morning. Verse 11 needs a little clarification. Then the Holy Spirit and His presence was in those days, for the most part, around them. Their involvement could be withdrawn by the Lord as He saw fit. Now today, with the grace of salvation through faith, the Holy Spirit and the Lord's presence is within us. Their involvement, in my mind, is never withdrawn. And then verse 12, because even then David felt that he was saved. He only prayed that the joy of salvation be restored, not salvation itself. And so my sermon this morning is the heart of God. Actually, my focus is on the heart that God seeks. And my theme is get used to different. It's the second time I have such a sermon. My text is Matthew 5:8. "Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God." Just a reminder, probably just to myself, pastors are often convicted by the very sermons that they preach, as this one has been for me. See, I do not always act pure in heart. And the text, of course, is printed in your handouts together with the sermon outline for your easy reference. I want you to walk with me, as I always do, through Psalm 19:14. "And so this morning, dear Lord, let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, my strength and my Redeemer." Amen. You know, you truly do learn something new almost every day. I did. And as I was preparing this sermon, I learned an answer to a question that many of you may not have. Does anyone here know the significance of September the 29th? Now, unless that happens to be your birthday or your wife's birthday, and if you are married, I suggest you don't forget it, or your wedding anniversary, or some other significant event in your life, you are in all probability not going to really focus on that date. You know, over 2 billion worldwide celebrate this day. It's called World Heart Day. You know, back in the year 2000, the World Heart Foundation started World Heart Day. They wanted to call attention to the number one killer in the world for humanity. Now, this heart disease does not kill everyone, but it certainly is, in our minds, the number one cause of human death. You know, cardiologists know that there is one of the most dangerous physical conditions related to the heart, and it is called a dirty heart. The medical term for that is endocarditis. It is a rare, but it's life-threatening inflammation of the lining inside the heart valves and in the heart's chambers, and it is usually caused by germs that get into your bloodstream and lodge themselves in the hearts and the valves and in the chambers, causing severe symptoms. It is not, if you don't treat it quickly, it's going to cause serious heart damage or even kill you. And the cure is a heavy dose of antibiotic that literally cleanses and purifies the heart. God is also concerned about the heart. And his primary concern is not this physical heart within our chest. It is the spiritual heart that beats within our souls. You know, this morning, we are in a sermon with the theme, Get Used to Different. It's a study of the Sermon on the Mount, which I've stated before is the greatest sermon Jesus ever preached. In that sermon, we know that there is a list of beatitudes, and they call these God's blueprints for blessings. It's how to live a blessed life or how to be a blessed person. However, I must tell you, God's recipe for blessing is not at all like the world's. And we saw that in a previous sermon on meekness. Now we see that again here as we come to this beatitude, Matthew 5:8, which states, Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. You know, this word pure is translated from the Greek word katharos. It means to purify by cleansing from dirt, filth, and contamination. We see all of us should know that we were all born with dirty hearts. And that's why a king by the name of David, who was a man after God's own heart, said this to God in Psalm 51:10, Create in me a clean heart, O God. Listen, this idea of a clean heart is a heart that is pure. It's pure in its motives, in its thoughts, and in its desires. A good word for it is integrity. I don't have to tell you that when it comes to pure hearts, the demand far outruns the supply. You know, we live in a world where integrity isn't talked about nearly enough. We live in a world where the ends justifies the means and has become an acceptable school of thought for far too many. You know, salespeople, they overpromise and they underdeliver because they're trying to make their quota for a month. Applicants exaggerating job applications because they're anxious for a job. CEOs overstate their projected earnings because they don't want the board of directors to let them go. Customer service representatives cover up mistakes they made because they're afraid the client's going to fire them. Employees call in sick because they don't have any more paid leave or paid time off, but they actually simply want to go and finish their Christmas shopping. And the list could go on, and in each case, the person committing this act of dishonesty tells themselves that they had a perfectly valid reason why the end result justified their lack of integrity. In other words, the problem is we have dirty hearts. So that brings us to this simple statement of Jesus. And it is a reminder that with God, it is what is on the inside that counts. And so what does Jesus say about a pure heart? Well, consider first in your outline, we are to pursue internal purity. I want you to listen again carefully to what Jesus said. Our text, verse 8a, Blessed are the pure in heart. You know, when we talk about people who live pure, and they should, Jesus is talking about people who are pure. You know, it's possible to clean up your act on the outside, but be living a lie on the inside. Great example is the Pharisees. If 2,500 years ago you had been walking the streets of Jerusalem, and someone came up to you and said, Can you show me someone who is pure? You would have immediately said, Sure. Just find a Pharisee. They dot the I's, they cross the T's, they don't get drunk, they don't smoke, they don't hang around with the wrong crowd, and they're always in the right place at the right time. But this is what Jesus said to them in Matthew 23, 25, and 26. Woe to you, teachers of the law and Pharisees, you hypocrites! You clean the outside of the cup and dish, but inside they are full of greed and self-indulgence. Blind Pharisees. First clean the inside of the cup and dish, and then the outside also will be clean. You see, the Pharisees were pure in their habits, but they were not pure in their hearts. Well, listen carefully. Jesus did not come to this world to correct our bad habits. He came to cleanse our dirty hearts. And why is God so focused on our heart? And why should we also be focused on our heart? Because our heart is where our feelings, our mind, and our will all live. The wisest man who ever lived, King Solomon, said in Proverbs 4:23, "Above all else, guard your heart, for everything you do flows from it." And that is true. Because we don't live according to what we think in our mind. We live according to what we really believe in our heart. They say the heart is the cockpit. It is the control center of life. For example, salvation is not of the head, but of the heart. To have a relationship with God is to be saved or to be born again. You must, Romans 10:9, believe in your heart that God raised Jesus from the dead. All of our thoughts, our intents, our desires, our actions, our beliefs all flow from the fountain of the heart. And that is why the government is absolutely powerless to solve the biggest problems that we have. Because all of our problems are a problem of our hearts. You know, we have a crime problem in this country. We have the largest incarcerated population in the planet. Not a day goes by that somebody is not murdered, raped, lied to, cheated on, or stolen from. We have legislation against every one of those things. They punish them, but they don't prevent them. Why? Jesus said in Matthew 15:18-19, "But the things that come out of a person's mouth come from the heart, and these defile him. For out of the heart come evil thoughts, murder, adultery, sexual immorality, theft, false testimony, slander." Legislation will never solve our problem. Legislation can outlaw discrimination, but it cannot get rid of racism. Legislation can outlaw murder, but it can never get rid of hatred. Legislation can outlaw rape, but it can never get rid of lust. And reformation is not the answer. How many times have we seen criminals get released based on good behavior, and as soon as they get outside, they go back to the bad behavior? You know, we do everything we can to reform criminals in prison. But 70% commit a crime and go back to jail within 5 years of the release because we deal with the symptom rather and not the cause. You know, as a criminal defense trial attorney, I always had a steady stream of business defending recycled criminal defendants. The answer is salvation. You see, legislation tries to change us from the outside in. Salvation changes us from the outside, from the inside out. And that is why, for example, if you want to start electing the right kind of people for office, and you want to put the right kind of people in those positions of government, we had better quit looking on the outside and first look on the inside. Amen. Now, do you remember when God set out to give Israel the king that they really needed? He told the prophet Samuel that he had chosen the perfect person. He tells him, go to Bethlehem and find a man named Jesse. And Jesse, because he was to see Jesse because one of his sons was chosen by God to be king. And when he arrives in Bethlehem and he finds Jesse, the first son that he saw was Eliab. And that was viewed from the outside. Now, Eliab must have been tall, strong, dark, handsome, muscular, the total package. This is what Samuel said in 1 Samuel 16:6. Surely the Lord's anointed stands here before the Lord. But then the Lord said this to Samuel in 1 Samuel 16:7. Do not consider his appearance or his height, for I have rejected him. The Lord does not look at the things people look at. People look at the outward appearance, but the Lord looks at the heart. Amen. You see, when God looked at David, he didn't measure his height, his weight, his biceps, chest size, waist size. He measured his heart. And parents, more than anything else you should ever desire for your kids, more than a college degree, more than that corner office, more than that big paycheck, and more than that championship ring, you should desire a pure heart for them. Amen. Amen. Consider second in your outline. We are to practice outward purity. You know, the evidence of a pure heart are your acts. If your heart is pure on the inside, your life will be pure on the outside. In fact, Jesus said in Luke 6:45, a good man brings good things out of the good stored up in his heart, and an evil man brings evil things out of the evil stored up in his heart. For the mouth speaks what the heart is full of. You know, farmers had a saying that what's down in the well will come up in the bucket. If you have a pure heart, you will look pure and you will live pure. You don't have to force purity. It will flow out of you. Now, there's an Old Testament counterpart upon which this beatitude was based on. That same David that I just talked about a minute ago, well, he wrote a psalm. It's the 24th psalm, and in it he penned these words, verse 4. Who may ascend the mountain of the Lord? Who may stand in his holy place? The one who has clean hands and a pure heart. If God is totally pure, the only person allowed in his presence is a person who is totally pure. That's exactly what Jesus just said. And he goes on to tell us what he means by a pure heart in Psalm 24:4. The one who has clean hands and a pure heart, who does not trust in an idol or swear by a false god. Who do you trust? You know, a pure heart is a heart that is always true. It's free from hypocrisy and deceitfulness. And a pure heart will not say it will do one thing and then do another, nor will it say it will do one thing when it intends to do nothing. Pure heart will always do the right thing, the good thing, the God thing, no matter what. You know, I don't believe there's a greater need for today in America or the world than people with pure hearts. I want you to listen to what someone wrote that I think was great. I'm going to read it. The title, The World Needs Men and Women Who cannot be bought, whose word is their bond, who put character above wealth, who will not lose their individuality in a crowd, who will be as honest in small things as in great things, who will make no compromise with wrong, who will not say they do it because everybody else does it, who are not ashamed or afraid to stand for the truth when it is unpopular, who can say no with emphasis, although the rest of the world says yes. Amen. Amen. Again, Jesus said, blessed are the pure in heart. Listen. Here is a vision of heaven on earth. If everybody in this world, everybody of every race, every color, every creed, every nationality, every ethnicity, every political party was pure in heart, imagine how blessed our homes would be, our countries would be, our world would be, our churches would be. If everyone was pure in heart, you wouldn't need to lock your doors at night. You wouldn't need a permit to carry a gun or a gun to carry. You wouldn't need any contracts. We wouldn't need any prisons. How blessed would we be if we were all pure in heart? But listen, there is a benefit to purity, because when we pursue inward purity and we practice outward purity, then consider third in our outline, we are promised eternal purity. Let me be honest. You need to see the price tag for purity, because there is a price for purity. For example, you pay a price not to sleep with someone before you get married. You pay a price not to cheat on your income taxes. You pay a price to tell the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth, and to stand for the truth and nothing but the truth. But there is a payoff for purity that's far greater than any price you could ever pay for it. And that is, blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. Can you think of a greater blessing, a higher blessing, a sweeter blessing than to see God face to face? If nothing is higher than God, it must mean that seeing God is the highest blessing, the highest joy you could ever experience. I think we all have a bucket list. For example, to see the Northern Lights, the Grand Canyon, Mount Rushmore. There are several other places in this magnificent world. But at the top of everybody's bucket list ought to be to see God. Again, listen, blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. What does that mean? It means you can go into the very literal presence of God. When you call a doctor's office and you say, I need to see Dr. So-and-so, you don't mean you want to see him from a distance. It doesn't mean you want to see a photograph of him. It may not even mean that you really want to see him on a Zoom call. You want an appointment. To be able to walk into his office, sit down with him face to face and tell him your problem. That's what it really means to see God face to face. Now you know what it really takes to see God. You've got to want to see God. Let me tell you something that is true of all of us. We see what we really want to see. If you want to see God, you will only be able to do it with a pure heart, with real integrity. It's the most important part of your life, and it's the part that only God can see. Now, He knows whether or not your heart is pure. If you want a pure heart, He will give you one. When He does, you will know Him for who He is now and forever. Amen. Service is over. You know, as you leave the sanctuary, I want you to consider sometime today and meditate on Jeremiah 29:13. Very familiar passage. You will seek me and find me when you seek me with all your heart. Listen, a search for God with a pure heart is always successful. Amen. See you all next week.